Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Ilona Europa, Accent On every Monday, and today is the day that I'm supposed to not be here, of course, because a lot of people decide that radio and shows can be just repeated, but not me, not Accent On. We are not only having 1 hour on LA Talk Radio with Accent on a radio, we will be moving from 7 till 8 to Accent On TV, the best of Poland and Europe for the video channel. And what can I say? I'm very excited about it. Why? Because I have young, gorgeous, talented people that now we can listen to them, but in 1 hour we can see them. And that's very exciting for us. Okay, again, maybe everybody will tell their names. Everybody who listens to Accent On knows that one thing that I do very badly is to introduce people, because I do my way. Jonathan was our guest a few weeks ago, and he was already giving me lessons how to spell his name, but I still will give him the right to do it right. Hello, Jonathan. What is your name?
Thank you for having me back. My name is Jonathan Maurer.
That's easy, Maurer.
Yes, very easy.
But when you spell your name, could you tell us your spelling?
Indeed, Jonathan Maurer, M-A-U-R-E-R.
It is very important, because I'm hoping everybody is going right now at Google and Facebook, and they are checking your name and say, why he is back? Must be something
indeed
very important. And we'll be talking a little bit about what you were talking a few weeks ago about. But then we'll push the most important topic of this show.
Yes,
which
please
is the new short movie, which we hope will turn into the
a feature film. That's right. We have big ambitions for this one.
And I'm already under the table, because this will be horror. And that's what you say, horror. That's my accent.
That's right. We're coming after you with this one.
Oh my gosh. But I will feel like in home, because we will tell you why. I feel sometimes that this theme, I can really see through and not be under summer chairs. And
that's the hope. We don't want to scare you that bad.
Yes.
Just a little bit.
And I like this type of psychological thrillers, that a real story is there, because it's the real story. We'll be talking, of course, to producer and director and writer and all of these things in a moment. Okay, we have Jonathan already. He introduced himself. Now we have a lady with us, and I am so proud to have her here with me, because I almost thought that she will somehow not make it, and she had good reason for that, but she's with us.
Gotta suit up and show up.
lovely, the gentle voice of Natasha Miraja.
Hello.
Like that?
Hi.
Okay, everybody will say, Natasha Miraja, how to spell your name?
My name is spelled N-A-T-A-S-H-A, Mariah, M-I-R-A-Y-A.
I think it's a beautiful name. I just love it. Great. Okay, Natasha, you are also part of the production, and we'll be talking about it too. You are here for a reason. Again, thank you for coming, very much so. And now, I don't know if you are the most important person today. I don't know, Alex. But seems like something is about you that we need to just look at you and say, oh, this guy, he's somebody. Who are you? Your name is?
Thanks for having me. Alex Parslow is my name, and I'm a writer, director, executive producer on this film.
Guys, I wish everybody would be here with me in the studio, or just please check the pictures that I posted on Accent On, one second one too, both Accents On. All three of them, they are just graduated from USC.
That's
right. And this is petrifying, because I have the future of entertainment business and filmmaking people, and Natasha Miraja is a singer. I know we'll be watching the movies. I know we'll be entertained by three of them. But I have three of them here right now, and I am so proud of three of them. Then, maybe, Jonathan, you tell us, USC, many, many years?
It's a three-year program for us in the graduate film program. That's where Alex and I met. We came in the same semester. We had the same first semester production class together. And from the cradle to the grave, as they say, we came in together. We are leaving together. I've technically graduated. Alex is making his final film. This is his thesis project. And he invited me on to produce. I was thrilled to be invited. It's a great project. And yeah, so it's a long, it's a very intensive program. It's a comprehensive program. It's something that gives you the complete ins and outs of filmmaking from really soup to nuts, as we say. So it's really prepared us for this. And everything has brought us to this point. This is the biggest production any of us have been involved with in terms of size, scope, cast, budget. Really, the ambition, the long-term process of this is really the biggest thing for any of us that we've ever done. So it's exciting. It's a little bit scary, but in all good ways. And it's something that
the scary part I love in life. This is an excitement.
I think you have to scare yourself sometimes with your work, especially as a creative person. If you're stuck where you've always been, you're never going to grow. So,
and if you're comfortable with things that coming, it's like, okay, I can manage. No, if you think like, oh my gosh, what will happen? I don't know, left or right, or what will happen? That's the best feelings that I have. And
I think so too. I think many of all of our favorite films, of the most celebrated films, are things that seemed like they couldn't have been done, or they had not yet been done up to that point.
Yeah.
So this is really where we see, I think, excellence is, and in that ambition. Not to say you always get there, but
yeah,
you,
but from
certainly
the process that you
charm.
Have the idea and then going through it, because all of three of you are so young and we have three different lives. They are so young and so beautiful and so brainy, so smart, and they have things already that they will be talking about that they accomplished. First and foremost, one of this school is the best in the world when it comes to filmmaking. That's for sure, USC. Whoa. And we have them here. Then luck is a very important part of this business, but I think persistence and hard work and good attitude and just not caring about downs, the ups and downs, need to be in this business. If not, like I say, you'll be only making happy movies, and who needs that? In a way, I think it's very hard to make a happy movie.
Yes, well, it's hard to make any movie. I think a happy one is probably doubly trouble. Yeah,
and that's true. Okay, Mr. Director Alex. Mm-hmm. Okay, little bit about you. You said this is your thesis.
Yeah, that's correct. So as Jonathan said, we met 3 years ago in the program. There's a number of us that have actually that met originally in our first class at Production 1 at USC that are working on this project. In addition to our AD, our cinematographer, we have a number of friends. So it's kind of great to have a group of us that started together that are also kind of ending together on this film. And this is, in fact, yes, my thesis film, that, as Jonathan said, the biggest production I've been fortunate enough to work on. And over the last number of months, we've been working together to basically put together this production. Tasha, Jonathan, myself have been producing nonstop for weeks and weeks, actually months, really, to put together, as Jonathan said, pretty big production with some notable actors attached that we plan to use as also a proof of concept for a feature film. We were fortunate enough to get a few notable actors, including Christopher Backus, who has been in a number of TV shows and movies, Nicholas Sparks' Deliverance Creek. He's appeared on Sons of Anarchy, Workaholics, Beth Grant, who's been in Little Miss Sunshine. She was in No Country for Old Men, Rain Man. She's a regular on The Mindy Project. And Carmen Argenciano, who has been in also a number of films and TV shows that have spanned like 30 years, including Godfather 2 to Identity, Swordfish, and Angels and Demons, Ron Howard's film. So we've got a great cast. We've been basically just working really hard to just get this production together, get it ready to go, and we're going to be shooting in about 2 weeks, and we're all really excited about it.
Is it time to start talking about what this movie is?
You know, I think, need to be open up, and we need to give first the title of the movie.
There we go.
Oh, yeah, that's probably important. Occam's Razor.
Occam's Razor. Mm. Razor is the scary part. Occam's, what does this mean?
Occam's Razor is like a phrase that kind of dates back, I think, 70 years or so. It's basically just like a kind of a philosophy or approach to looking at things in life, a logical approach, which is the assumption with the fewest, the theory with the fewest number of assumptions is probably the correct theory.
Interesting. Repeat slowly, mm-hmm. because I think mm-hmm. I followed, but slowly, I'm blown. One more time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Another way to put it might be the simplest solution
okay. Is
probably the correct solution.
I just love you. That's so right. And you are so right. A lot of times we all are looking left, too much, too deep, too crazy. But really, everything's in front of us. If you only like tune in to your intuition and the first emotion sometimes, or first the point of view, probably this is the right one. Again, title of the movie?
Occam's Razor.
How you spelled?
O-C-C-A-M apostrophe S and razor, just like you would normally spell razor.
And what is really, really important in this hour, that we'll be trying to raise money because we need money. And it's not even funny, but that's the reality. And I think it's the coolest things ever that young people can really put something together and then can ask for money and start getting them. All of you are pretty close, hopefully, to get how much money you need?
So we're trying to raise $10,000 on Kickstarter. We're past the halfway point, and then we have about a week to go.
People, 1 week to go. They have half already. And I post links all over. It's just click there. Doesn't really matter how much you give. This could be $10, can be $10,000. That would be the best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, anyone at all who might be listening, Kickstarter.com. You can search by the name of the film, Occam's Razor. Again, O-C-C-A-M apostrophe S, Razor. $1 is awesome. $10 is awesome. Really, anything at all. The number of backers would be just a great number to see and to have the support of people and help us get this film made. Because as students, we do pay out of pocket for this. The commercial viability of short films is very low. So this is something really where there's a lot of risk up front for us. It's something that we're looking at as a long-term investment in our careers. But at this level, we do have some support from the university, but it's really a pay-yourself type of a deal for the most part. So it's almost overwhelmingly funded by Alex individually. I'm working for free. A lot of the cast and crew are working for free, including the notable actors that Alex mentioned. So a lot of generosity across the board just to get us this far. But we really are looking for the help of anybody at all who could see the promise in young aspiring filmmakers, people just chasing a dream, and reaching out with hands open and asking for any generosity that might be out there.
And we want to see this movie. I know a little bit theme or story behind. I don't know if, who will a little bit describe the scary part of this movie, which is really, really unusually. I can picture already this movie in my own head, which scares me. That's the worst, when you start story can unveil in your own head, say, oh my God, what if I really see the movie? Will be scary and will be amazing, and things like that happened before. But I want both of you to describe the story behind. But now you mentioned that most of people involved in this movie are working for free. And free sometimes is the best payment because you get people who
it's
really
want. It's my favorite payment as the producer. I love to pay free.
And everybody says, oh, for free, why? But really, in this entertainment business, when you get somebody who wants to give you a time for free, it means that they really want to be part of the project. And I'm sure you have, all, both of you, three of you have great, great people. And I cannot say also enough, because Natasha Miraya, you are also helping for free, happy, very happily, because you have history with Jonathan. You produced few things here and there, and you need to tell us about this. Natasha Miraya, your company name is Type A Entertainment.
Yes, that's correct.
And everybody will say Type A. This sounds like we know maybe character issues, problems. Some people have problems.
It's all the best aspects of being Type A. It's all the detail oriented, you know, aspects that people who are Type A have. That's kind of been, you know, my branding for Type Entertainment. I just happened to stumble across producing in a crazy way, working on my own music video, not necessarily wanting to be the producer, and found out that there was a lot of details that needed to be handled, and I just gravitated towards it. So,
and, you know, I know you well, then sometimes I play your songs, and I would love to, of course, play one or two today, but what is exciting for three of you, and myself too, because I am an artist, I'm singer, songwriter, and I do crazy stuff like the One Radio, now radio on TV, and I have my dreams. I want to win Grammy. That's my small dream. Then you guys creating movie for me is like, of course will happen. Win Grammy, that's for me really tough dream, but I dream big, and nobody can take this
dream. I would vote for you.
Thank you so much.
Vote.
And I even will allow Natasha or Jonathan or you, Max, sing my song if you will win Grammy for me, for my songwriting. Doesn't matter who will win Grammy for me, but I want to be part of something that is just the most noticeable, you know, in entertainment business. And we all need to have dreams like that until we don't believe in ourselves. First things, believe in ourselves. We have three of you, probably very, very strong characters. And Natasha, because you are a singer, you are a songwriter?
Yes, I sing and songwrite as well.
I know. And you just finished graduate from USC, and you just decided to be involved with movies. Why is it tough business? A business of singing and songwriting is not easy too, but a business, a word business for very smart, great girl, and it seems like you put you on a stage will be easier. But for whatever reason, you like to be behind.
Yeah, I've always gravitated more towards, you know, the business aspect of things. My degree is in music business, but there's also a lot that involves film and entertainment as a whole. So it always piqued my interest, and I got the opportunity to produce one of Jonathan's films, and that's how we met and really bonded and started collaborating on a few other projects from there.
But you, Jonathan, she says films. This film was awarded.
I would like to believe that that's true. Unfortunately, I did not win an award for our collaboration, but my mom said it was award winning,
so,
at least in merit. So, but no, in all seriousness, it was a music video that was cinematic in its structure and its narrative. And Natasha was definitely instrumental in helping produce that and bring that to life. That was our first time working together, and very proud of that piece. It was
How to Breathe Underwater.
That's the title of it. It's on YouTube, searchable.
And it really is not about how to breathe underwater, because I know a little bit about this movie. And it's a beautiful concept.
Yes,
beautiful
don't go concept. Looking for the solution to breathing underwater. You'll be disappointed.
Children don't do
so
this in
dark.
Home. But how we can, again, find, we have a link on YouTube, people can see the short film.
Yes. Yes, they could. Christopher Cerrone is the artist. He was a Pulitzer Prize finalist in music last year, 2014. And this is a piece of music that he composed, an original piece of music. It was the first music video that he has for his work. And I was fortunate enough to make that.
Well, how did he choose you?
We happened to be friends from New York. And together as younger men, we traveled together in Europe and with another friend. And at the time, we're just chatting about our aspirations and our career. He was a composer. I was a writer wanting to be a director, and I watched his career take off, and he had a lot of success over the years. Now he's been reviewed, and actually on Tuesday, tomorrow, he's premiering a new piece at the LA Phil, so I'll be there to watch that and listen to that. So yeah, he's a superbly talented young guy, and I was lucky enough to know him and asked him if he would open his catalog for me, and he gave me carte blanche and said, pick anything you like. So
wow.
That was
I
very humbling.
I love what three of you say. You said a few times friendships, working together, liking each other. This is something the entertainment business, we feel like, doesn't have too much going on, but I think people are wrong. I think the great things that is happening and that we all run to see the movies or listening to great artists, because we work with people that we like to work with. That's
absolutely
simple.
And I think Alex can speak to that because his co-writer is somebody he's known for many years on this film, and they have a long relationship and are working already on the feature version of it. So.
Okay, we want to hear about your friend, and because he's a writer.
Yes, he's
what is his name?
Andrei Kovalos.
Very beautiful Russian name. I always try to find some accented people, and people who listen to Accent don't understand that, because I believe all of us have funky roots, different roots, great roots. But, you know, we are becoming this melting pot. That's what we say. And working with different people who are from different culture, I think, adapt a lot to special writing. You know, you have Dostoevsky on your Facebook?
I do, actually.
I know. You know, I'm sure a lot of people read a very complicated author, but I think that's what is the coolest thing ever, that when we read, we don't really care who wrote. What is the artist, if he came from Russia, England, or something, if they're good, okay? And you picked your friend. Why did you pick?
Well, Andre and I met like 7 or so years ago at a writing program at CSUN, and we were both, basically, we had a lot of overlap, common interests in film and where we wanted to go. And for many years, we actually just remained friends and kind of writing buddies, meaning like we would write our own material and we would exchange it and give each other feedback and notes. And it was about only about a little over a year ago, year and a half ago maybe, where Andre, you know, basically sat me down and said, well, why don't we try to write something together? We've never tried collaborating. Why don't we give it a shot? You know, we both obviously had like a certain level of mutual respect. We both had the same kind of training. We both came from like the same, background in terms of how we approach storytelling. And so I said, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. We thought at that point in time, we should try to write something ultra low budget, something that we could film on our own, raise money on our own, you know, some sort of micro budget project. And I had, at that time, I was at USC and I was meeting a lot of different kinds of people who were really eager to jump on a film project. So I thought, you know, this is doable, we can do this. So we brainstormed for about 3 days and we came up with an idea that involved multiple dimensions and traveling across, you know, other worlds, and it was in no way a micro budget project. However, we fell in love with the idea so much that we just said, screw it. Let's just write this $200 million epic science fiction, you know, opera. And we did that. Over the course of 8 months, we worked on it. And the unfortunate thing is when you're at this level, you don't know anyone. You know, we had a handful of contacts, but not that many. And we really, really wanted to get out there. It's really tough to get read if you don't have, you know, an agent or a manager and you don't have connections. And so we did something kind of ridiculous in some ways. We researched on IMDb Pro, all these different, you know, names, agents, managers, producers, executives at different companies, their assistants, and we composed about 250 emails over the course of 3 weeks, specific emails to these different individuals that we thought might be interested in a project like this, and we just sent them out cold. And, you know, of course, a lot of people will just dismiss the email and not even respond, but we were lucky enough to get a few responses. Probably like 8 or 10, not that many.
No, that's a lot. Yeah. That's a lot for 200. This is like 5%.
Yeah.
That's very good marketing. Normally, you have, that's a very good response, okay?
Yeah, yeah. And one of these people who responded was Lee Stobie, who was a manager and had a partner at the time. And he read the screenplay and absolutely loved it and said, hey, can I meet you guys tonight? So,
what a phone call. I want to get one like that. That's a great, great story. I love it. It's so uplifting. And I hope people who are listening to Accent On and they know that I have so many great artists coming here with very similar stories, and most of my artists are releasing sometimes the next something great on my show. I am so happy for that. But now you are giving us a little bit the road, the journey. I know that few months from now we will be back here. Everything will be just fine. And oh gosh, maybe a year from now we'll be really watching your movie in a theater.
Well, Alex is modest. He had a lot more success with that script than he lets on, actually.
Yeah,
he
give
had
me,
life I'm, beyond this phone call.
Of course, sorry for stopping you, but I know we are going to a really good ending. Then please tell us what's happened with the screenwriter.
Sure, sure. Well, we got signed, and we're currently signed with Lee Stobie Entertainment. And, you know, he and his partner sent our screenplay out to the industry, and we got, you know, well over 40 meetings at, you know, companies, legendary Ridley Scott's company, you know, a lot of
Imagine Entertainment.
Imagine Entertainment, a lot of the major studios and smaller production companies as well. And we met a lot of different people who were interested in our project, and at the same time pitched projects to us, and we pitched other ideas we had. And then we were lucky enough to get on these two kind of big insider industry lists. Basically, you know, in the industry, they have these lists that they do annually, the hit list, and another one was called the Young and Hungry list. And Andre and I were fortunate enough to make it on both those lists.
Wow.
And both of them, I think, have around 100 up-and-coming writers and filmmakers that are selected, basically voted on by industry insiders, which could be executives, producers, assistants, but you can't, you know, vote on it unless you have unless you're in the industry, you kind of have to petition to,
Have access to all the scripts that are that are eligible for this.
This is almost petrifying because, you know, in a way you have 1 or 2 or 3 feet closer. What is the plural?
Steps.
One. Thank you so much.
Yes.
But you have something very important. Oh, my gosh. That's the phone call can change your life. And now you say, how I cannot waste this moment, momentum. You know, something is going on very, very serious. I want to come back because you said young and hungry. That's a very good words for
aptly
people.
Aptly titled list.
Indeed. Yeah, I love this title. Nothing wrong with that. That's honesty. You all are young and hungry, not only for success, for work, and also, again, for money, because we are here for the reason.
Exactly. Well, there's a cruel irony, I think, too, to Alex's success in this case, which is that he wrote this brilliant script, which is so ambitious and has been so, so well received. But the irony that I speak of is the fact that now there's not a lot that can be done with that script, or there's a lot of, I think, fear in the industry to buy a script that is of that scope, because the investment into something like that is so high that it is an incredible risk, and it's a lot of exposure for a company to produce something like that. And why would they do that is their logic when they can make another Star Wars film or another Fast and Furious film, a film that has a guaranteed draw, has a guaranteed market.
Until
so something
they
original,
think that all of you are a future. And future is something that everybody's looking
That's the hope. And yet, so with the success that Alex had, he takes these meetings and then the conversation very frequently is, what else do you have? What do you have that will not cost us this kind of money? And from that is the origins of Occam's
Razor. Let's come back again to title of the movie. We have Kickstarter going on. We have few days to find somewhere $4,500 and please, we all very, very much, we are not begging because we think we have great,
Well, why don't we tell them
product.
What the movie's about? I don't think we've gotten to that yet.
Can we do that? Can we do? It's not
so they know what they want to donate to.
It's a horror. Then we have great guys here. We know that they are all educated. They have beautiful background and already a lot of things that they were involved with. We have people who just believe in that and they are already taping. You are right now working on this movie, yes?
We're in pre-production, and it is full steam ahead now until we start to shoot. We're targeting right now, not locked, but June 8th looks like a potential start date for us. So in the next 2 weeks, we'll
be
up.
Who is telling us story? What is this movie about? I'm under table already.
Yeah.
For the reason.
It is a atmospheric horror film, kind of in the vein of other films like Bram Stoker's Dracula or maybe even The Exorcist, where a lot of the scares and a lot of the fear is generated from a very creepy atmosphere. It is a period film. It takes place in the 1850s in the United States. It's about a post-mortem photographer, somebody back then who took pictures of the dead, but not just took pictures of the dead. They would oftentimes come in and basically would dress these people up, apply makeup, do a number of things, sometimes even surgical things, position them in a lifelike manner in order to make them look like they were still alive. Because in this era, photography was still very, very new.
Yeah.
And a lot of people didn't have pictures of themselves. It was rare. It was expensive. Pictures weren't that common. And so if some, you know, say a family member died, they wanted to have a picture of them as a keepsake, a memento before, you know, they said goodbye. And if they didn't have a picture of them already, they didn't really want a picture of them looking dead. So they would have someone like this come in and basically make it look as if they were still alive, and then take a picture, and then that would be their keepsake for, you know, for the rest of time.
In many cases, the family would pose with them, and so you can look this up. You can Google this. There are images now, and for our modern perspectives, I think it might seem very grotesque, but for a period of time, as Alex says, this was normative, and this was something that people might have had in lieu of a portrait or a painting. And when Alex presented this idea to me, I had never heard of this. I had no idea, and I love history, and I love the history of photography, and I had no clue that this was a thing, and much less a commonplace thing. And so I thought, what a brilliant starting point for a character, that this is your norm, this is your career. What kind of person would do this? What kind of person would be attracted to this profession? And I thought, what a great entry point, just to have him as our protagonist.
Wow.
Yeah, that's exactly what attracted me and also my co-writer Andre to this project. The fact that this did actually exist, but it doesn't exist anymore today. And the fact that to modern day people, it just seems so odd, so macabre. Like, as Jonathan was saying, like, who would do this? Who would spend so much time with the dead and be that comfortable, you know, posing them and dressing them?
Yeah. Mostly people don't even want to open coffin. You know, and they just, we are so afraid of death, I think. And maybe years before, people had more respect for dead people. Could this be? Perhaps. I don't know. You know, yeah, it's pretty scary. I know that the story will develop probably deeper and deeper. I'm really... But that's the truth, and that's what is scary. It's not the only imagination. It's just something real. People did this, and they had this last picture forever, you know, with dead somebody looking hot or not hot. I don't know. Congratulations. I think we need to give a little music.
Oh, we have to get to the end of the story. We have only,
oh, we can
only
do
introduced
that?
Him. Yes. Well, at least a
that?
Little bit.
Yeah,
I know a little bit because
we
Natasha
don't
mentioned
spoil the ending for our
what
audience.
We can say because yeah, the twist is really scary. Yeah. Tell us tiny little bit.
I don't know if we should give too much of the twist, but I can tell you that we thought this was great. You know, we thought this occupation would be a great starting point for a horror film, and we thought, you know, basically somebody who worked with the dead, you know, that exclusively. What if it seemed as though the dead seemed to communicate to him? What if, you know, this person through his photographs, all of a sudden it seemed as though these people that he was taking pictures of were communicating to him, trying to tell him something.
Yeah.
And he starts to go on a journey to find out what exactly it is they're trying to say. And it could be very much, you know, in the case of our story, what if the official reasoning behind many people's deaths, what if it was wrong? What if it was a lie? What if there was some other culprit behind it, or maybe even some kind of supernatural reasoning behind how these people died. And so this postmortem photographer is, you know, they're you know, the postmortem photography is the key, and he's able to see receive communications, and basically they're leading him to find out the truth. And so that's the big mystery behind the film.
Okay.
And that's what he'll discover along his journey.
We need to know the truth. Natasha, I know that you spend hours looking for locations, and you love to do that.
Happily.
But yeah, you love to do this, that's just not easy, because somebody say, oh my gosh, it's so scary, the church is scary, the place is scary, but somebody needs to find the places and hopefully the right places for the idea. And how do you do that? Why do you know that this place that you offered is the right one?
Yeah, well, I kind of gravitated towards it because when I read the script, the first thing I did was picture the world instantly. And, you know, it's not that often that in writing you can see everything. Oh, it takes a really good writer that you can read it and really picture this world. So I was instantly thinking, you know, what type of locations we would need. And I started writing out all of the different descriptions, the words that Alex had used so that I could, you know, piece together what he wanted on paper into the visuals. And there's, of course, you know, a gothic Victorian vibe, which I love innately. So I just started researching different images and locations in Los Angeles. And it's, you know, a lot of calling and contacting and seeing, you know, who would be willing to donate locations or offer a modest price. And it's a lot of back and forth and making sure all of the aesthetics are correct with the time period, because, of course, you want to stay true to that as well. So I think we have some great places locked down, still finalizing a couple more, but just want to get the look absolutely perfect.
Then in a way, I'm repeating, and really, really, I try to be the sweetest messenger here. We have amazing three very, very smart, very creative young people who are just graduate from USC. They are done with this amazing school. Now the big project in Alex's hands and Jonathan's, in a way, Natasha, Miraya too, they need to get the money to... They have almost everything ready, in a way, and they have the small version and the big versions. They need help. A lot of people need the help. I think they really have a reason to ask for help. We have a few days, maybe 5 days, I think. How many days?
There's about a week left. The exact end date, I believe, is the 31st. But
it's the 1st.
June 1st. So let's get them in by the 31st, just to be safe. But we may have till June 1st, pretty much the end of the month. But indeed, we have so many great people working for us. Again, a lot of them volunteers. We're lucky to be working with the Burns Archive. They're folks who popularized, or I would say re-educated people on the history of postmortem photography when this was something that was almost at risk of being forgotten by time. These were researchers and doctors and historians who really brought this back into the well-known, and they've served as historical consultants on dozens and dozens of films and television shows, including The Others and The Nick and Gangs of New York, so many great titles, and they were generous enough to offer us a consultancy and make sure that we're being accurate to the time, to the period, so that was something we're extremely grateful for. It's going to feed our actors, and that's for no pay, so again, very grateful for all the people that are coming on board for that. And really, movie making is an extremely expensive endeavor. We're trying to do something that looks and feels professional. In Los Angeles, as Natasha can attest, it's extraordinarily difficult to find buildings that pass for the 19th century, especially things that are East Coast, which is where our film takes place. So everything has a cost associated to it, and it's something that we don't want to cut corners on. So, yeah, so the costs mount. And
please go to Accent On, and I post the Kickstarter link to the movie. And I hope people understand that it's not so hard to do that. Yes, you just enter the link.
They make it very simple for you, yeah. And we have some great rewards, which is something we haven't touched on yet, but there are rewards and thank yous for our generous donors out there, including downloads of the film, props from the film, artwork, original artwork that's conceived by all of the great artists that we have helping us in pre-production. You can get script coverage from Alex, which is something extremely valuable.
Wow, that's beautiful.
Alex, again, a represented writer in the industry who's on these coveted lists, and he will read personally, and Andre, his co-writer, will read your script and give you professional notes. So that's something that if there are any writers or aspiring filmmakers listening, that's something with an objective value,
and
for sure.
I am very optimistic because a week ago I had a Polish-American filmmaker who also for 7 years was raising money to get his movie and finished, and he is 99% done. He just raised $20,000, I think, on Kickstarter and flew to Poland because
we're only asking for half that.
I understand. Yeah, that's what I'm saying, but that was his last part. He for 7 years he was just asking for free, the best people that he could find and who wanted to work with him. He has idea for the movie. It's 120 minutes and no one word in a movie.
Wow.
And story is very, very deep, very little bit twisted too, you know, very cool reality. But what I'm saying, things can happen like that. And then he flew to our country to get the best jazz players that he knows of, and their worldly names. And he got them also for free, no problem. I know. We love to help people. We love to help talented people, and I know that some type of money are already there for both of you to be added to Kickstarter. And everybody, please go to Accent on both Accent On, and then check the link. Name of the movie again?
Occam's Razor, OCCAM'S, Razor. We are on Kickstarter. We also have a Facebook page, and we're definitely looking for, you know, any help we can get, because this is a great film, and we can definitely make it even better with your help.
And now we are talking about collaboration. Natasha, you are a singer-songwriter, and we can introduce one gentleman who also co-write with you, and his name is Artur Hagopian. I like to call him a kid genius. I think he's a really good name for this very, very talented young gentleman.
And also a USC student.
That's what I'm saying. This is like heavenly day for this smart, beautiful future of entertainment, even not today of entertainment. Time is to help these young people. Then listen to the singing. Are you okay with that, Miss?
Yes.
Miss Natasha Mira, I know that you have choice because I played before the song, and it's very cool.
But I've lost all my control. In the shadows, the fear that runs through my veins takes over my mind and I go insane. I've tried, but somehow I can't let go. You say you love me, but then you leave me, and in the end you take it all away. How can you love me if you could leave me, and in the end there's no. Tell me that you love me the way I am. Tell me I wasn't a pawn in your greater plan. I can't act like it was a surprise, 'cause I saw the light dim in your eyes. Leave me, oh, love me the way I am.
The way I am, the way I am. your heart that I couldn't save. You tried, but somehow still can't let go. In the shadows of fear that run through your veins, takes over your mind and drives you insane. You tried, but somehow still lost control. Yeah, you said you love me, then you left me. How could you love me if you could leave me?
Okay, we love the song, and Natasha Miraya is here, and
hello.
Like every artist, she's very shy, and we like that about her too. Anyway, what about music for the film? Did you think about it?
Yes, actually, a lot of composers have actually reached out to us, and we're like basically just going through a lot of the people that we know, a lot of these composers that have reached out, and that's actually part of the process that we're just starting, because it's always best
Perfect.
To get them on board as soon as possible.
And I'm telling you, I don't know if this will be the one, but could be. A few years ago, I got email from a gentleman from Italy. His name is Domenico Capuano, and he's 30-something years old, Italian composer. He is John Williams of Electronica and Symphonic Orchestra putting together. He has so many scores already in Europe, and now he's working big people in America. He's trying to break into American filmmaking, scoring business. I never heard somebody so good in my life, and I have music degree, a very high music academy in Europe. Then I knew I have something amazing, and we just gave him a passport to America that he can just come and work here. He's here 3 years. He's doing very well. I never hear from him. Hey, Domenico Capuano, you can say hi from time to time. But anyway, he's doing very well here, and I know all what he wants is to write, and he has so many plays every instrument, just and his orchestration are dark. I will just ask him to just send I will give a link, because I have his official link for this type of offers, and you never know, I will be very happy to introduce all of you, and could happen. I think he's magical, scary dude, and also very successful pop producer with very amazing amount of hits. I think he was like 17, 18, the whole world is singing his song. It's called Blue. Blue, da ba di da 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 ba da ba da. That's the Mimo Capuano. And he was a very young boy, and he was signed to a very big record company in England. They brought him to Eiffel 65 band. that was just created, and he was writing the biggest hits for them. Then, you know, things happened. He was a young boy. When he came, I thought he must be 60 with all these multi-platinum sales for the pop. But now he just left this behind. He just is, John Williams of the future when it comes to electronica and symphonic orchestra, the real one, with lots of titles with Music Academy. Okay, I pitched you, Domenico. I didn't mean to, but, you know, you never know. I love to pitch people. People, one more time. We are here for the reason. Please, Jonathan, what is your name?
I am Jonathan Maurer. I'm the producer of Occam's Razor.
Alex.
Alex Parso, the writer, director, executive producer of Occam's Razor.
Natasha Muraya.
I'm Natasha Muraya, and I'm the associate producer for Occam's Razor, as well as a singer-songwriter.
Type A Entertainment. I love this title. And we are here to raise money, to help raise money. Please, people, please, I'm begging. I'm not asking for myself. I'm going to Vegas. Maybe I will win something. I'll give you guys too.
Oh,
but the fact is that I know we have a lot of people who care about not only this genre of movies, but the young, amazing, creative people. We need to help. We need to help them. And then again, it's on Kickstarter. How we can get there? www.kickstarter.com.
Kickstarter.com. You can search by the title of the film, Occam's Razor, OccamsRazor, Occam's Razor. You can follow the link on our Facebook page, which is also Occam's Razor, Occam's Razor Film. You can follow the links on Accent On, however you get there. Please, please do. And check out the rewards. Again, very cool, very fun rewards. Props by our amazing art department. Our production designer worked on feature films such as Nightcrawler with Jake Gyllenhaal. So she's extremely talented. That's one of the departments that is where we're putting a lot of our budget into to really get that look of the 19th century, of the world of the church, where it's going to take largely place, the props of the photographer, all of these things we want to be exactly specific, very real, very specific. And our actor, who's a professional, he's been in shows like Sons of Anarchy and It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and as Alex said, Deliverance Creek. We met with him the other day, and he was so excited, telling us he's been studying daguerreotype photography, he's been studying tintype photography, all these old methods, and coming to us with ideas and questions. What are the props going to look like? I want to work with this and that. So it's very thrilling for us to have a professional at that caliber see that potential in this script, and we want to be able to feed all of our actors those resources. So check out those rewards again, and you could get some of these props, because we're going to have them and we're not going to keep them. So
we are $4,000 away. Then it's very, very little to make the dream come true for all the three who are here, and a lot of people that are involved and really are giving all the best for all of us to enjoy and knowing that we helped. How beautiful is this? Anyway, we have 10 minutes, and everybody who wants to switch to video channel on LA Talk Radio, please go again, video channel, latalkradio.com. You will see right away the TV. Click there in 10 minutes. We are in another room, and all of you can see us and see this gorgeous, smart, great people talking one more time. And we'll be pitching this beautiful, beautiful project. A word pitch is a very good word for today, okay? Thank you again for listening. And we are closing this show with a very sad song. Who's gonna save me? And I'm asking for that, Ilona Europa.
Someday you'll understand. cold nights. She went left, I went right. So we took a chance, roll dice. Win some, lose some, oh well, that's life. Only thing I'm tripping off is, what about the talk to the kids in the crib? Us in 5 years, how you disappear after everything we did? Everything we built, bottom to the tip. Now she's a ditty cause she running around the city. Seen her at the club with her swag looking silly. Knowing she's supposed to be at home with me. Now she out of place like she don't know me. Yeah, honestly I feel bad for her. Cause to the core I was everything she asked for. But things happen for a reason. New woman, new season, I got a life.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.